Bore da, good morning. Penrith Happies. So this morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised to life this Jesus, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I know that many of you today were hoping to see me in my Union Jack suit, which I wore 10 years ago to the Diamond Jubilee. However, my lovely wife told me that I couldn't because I couldn't preach looking like a clown. Somebody at our house yesterday did make the comment, well, how is that any different wearing the suit? But there we are. But instead, I'm wearing these. There should be a picture. There we are. That's a picture of me 10 years ago in my outfit. So you can see what I'd look like had I been allowed to wear it. But instead, I'm wearing these. Now, many men go through a midlife crisis. Some buy sports cars. Some take up mad, daring, crazy sports. My midlife crisis was these. Which is a bit sad, really, isn't it? But it's just a bit of fun, really. And that's what's great about being in family here in Tabs. We can have fun together as we worship and serve the Lord. And that's the main reason that we're here today, to worship God. But we also come to have some fun and to thank God for the life of Queen Elizabeth II, who came to the throne 70 years ago at the tender age of 25. And Matthew has already given a quote from the Queen's 21st birthday. And during that speech, she said this, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service." And over 70 years, even the most ardent Republican has to accept that she has been true to her word. And so today we come to give thanks and to celebrate a life of duty, dedication, perseverance, and service. Those are all attributes that we find in the Bible as the desired attributes of a follower of Jesus. And perhaps that's no surprise, as the Queen is a committed follower of Jesus and part of his people known as the Church. In her foreword to the book The Servant Queen, published for the Diamond Jubilee, the Queen said this, "I have been and remain very grateful to you for your prayers and to God for his steadfast love. I have indeed seen his faithfulness." Indeed, if you watch the programme broadcast by the BBC last week, where the Queen was describing some of her personal photographs, she made a number of references to her faith and described how the most important things that have sustained her over the years are, and it was in this order, her faith, her family, and her friends. The Queen's testimony is that she has known the faithfulness of God throughout her life. It is a testimony that most of us here can give too. The Queen, in her platinum message, ended it by saying, "We look to the future with confidence and enthusiasm." In John 3:16, the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That is a promise of God, and God is faithful and keeps his promises. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." And because it is God who has made the promise, we can have hope for the future, because our future is guaranteed if we believe in Jesus. We can indeed look to the future with confidence and enthusiasm. The Queen over the years has demonstrated her faithfulness. She has been true to the promise that she made all those years ago at her 21st birthday, and has devoted her long life to the service of the nation. As followers of Christ, we are called to be like him, and therefore must demonstrate our faithfulness too. We must be faithful in our obedience, in our prayer, in our Bible reading, in our meeting together, and in our love for each other. Colossians 2 tells us, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." Everything we do should be dedicated to God, and we should undertake it with passion and enthusiasm and faithfulness as we're doing it for God. I've already mentioned the book, The Servant Queen, which was published for the Diamond Jubilee. And that book made the point that the servant queen serves the servant king. Because although Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible tells us he was born in a lowly stable, not a palace. It goes on in every one of the four Gospels to tell us that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Christians also are called to be servants. And that is why we reflect God's love in what we do. Why we take part in Home Access and the Food Bank and Paradise Run and all of the other things that we do as a church. Philippians 2:5-8 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Now, many in this day and age don't see being a servant as a good thing. And many say, I don't need God. I have everything I want. I can live life my way. And surely in many respects, the queen falls into the category of someone who has everything she wants. She has wealth, castles, palaces, and staff who look after her every need. She can live life her way. So why does she say that she needs God? It's not even as if she's done a lot of bad things. Well, the reason is that the queen knows that we all need God. It doesn't matter if you're the richest, most exalted person in the land or a penniless refugee looking for a home. It doesn't matter if you've done lots of bad things or very few. We all need God and we all need the saving grace of Jesus. The Bible puts it this way, that all have done wrong and fallen short of the glory of God. You see, God's ways are perfect and none of us can come up to the mark. However, the good news is we don't have to. Because God loves us so much that he sent Jesus who died for us. He was our Saviour who took all our bad away and gave us his good. The Queen put it this way in her Christmas message of 2011. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or greed. God has sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor general, important though they are, but a saviour with power to forgive. It is my prayer that on this Christmas day, we might find room in our lives for the message of the angels and for the love of God through Christ Jesus. You see, the Queen recognizes that only Jesus was perfect, but that God loves us so much that he makes us perfect or righteous through believing in Jesus. And instead of us carrying our guilt and shame, God the Father sees Jesus in us and just sees his righteousness. Galatians 3 says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. Not only does the Queen know that we all do things wrong and need forgiveness, but also that once we come to believe in Jesus and decide to follow him, he will be with us in good times and in bad. He will be our strength and refuge in times of trouble. He will help us get through them. If you're a Christian or if you decide today to follow Jesus, don't expect a trouble-free life because the Bible doesn't promise that. However, it does promise that Jesus will be right there with you and that he'll get you through and give you strength and hope. The Bible tells us that God said this, Never will I leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All of us have been through so much in the last few years. A pandemic, war in Ukraine, an ongoing climate crisis, to name but a few. However, God will never leave us or forsake us. And nothing can take us away from his love. In another book called Romans, it says this: for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was written by Paul, who described himself as the chief of sinners. He, in his ministry, knew every hardship, including famine, shipwrecks, beatings, and persecution. Yet he was able to describe how God's love will never ever leave you. The Queen too has known troubles in her life. She's known war, grief, disaster, and family breakdowns. She's not immune from the troubles of life. Who can forget her annus horribilis? Yet the Queen has experienced the strength of knowing Jesus and having him with her in good times and bad. In her Christmas message in the year 2000, she said, "To many of us, our beliefs are of fundamental importance. For me, the teachings of Christ and my own personal accountability before God provide a framework in which I try to lead my life. I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example." You see, going back to Hebrews 10:23, he who promised is faithful. And in her Christmas message of 2014, the Queen makes reference to the difference that knowing Christ and following his example and teachings of the Bible can make. She said this: "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Priests, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life, a role model of reconciliation and forgiveness. He stretched out his hands in love, acceptance, and healing. Christ's example has taught me to seek to respect and value people of whatever faith and none." Galatians 5 describes the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those should be the attributes that we should be seeking to display in our lives. But we can't force it. It can only be done through knowing Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Knowing Jesus, following him, journeying through life with him can make you a better person and give you a better life. A life where, despite the traumas, you can know peace, joy, and hope. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life in all its fullness." In 2002, the Queen said this: "I know just how much I rely on my own faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God. Like others of you who draw inspiration from your faith, I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel." That sounds like a good maxim to live each day by. But what is that hope that the Christian gospel gives? Well, here are just a few things. God loves us so much that nothing can separate us from that. God wants what is best for us. And if we follow him, he promises us life in all its fullness. God promises to be there with us and to never leave us or forsake us. God promises that when we die, and we all will, we will have eternal life through faith in Jesus. This life will not be all there is. So how do you get to know Jesus? How do you get to know his presence with you in good times and in bad? Well, today, of course, we're celebrating the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost. And the passage read to us today was Peter's address following the Holy Spirit falling upon and filling the disciples with power. And Peter, in his address, in his sermon to the people, gave the answers. Firstly, he says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You have to call out to God. There's a lovely painting by Holman Hunt. There it is. The Light of the World. Where a figure of Jesus is standing at the door holding a lantern and knocking. But the observant person will notice that the door has no handle. And the reason for that is because Jesus will never force himself on you. You have to open the door and ask him into your life. Secondly, in our reading, Peter says that we need to repent. So we need to call out to God and we need to repent. Repent means to say sorry for the wrong things you've done and for not doing the good things you should have done. Deciding to try and do things differently in the future, doing them God's way, not ours. So Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins or wrongdoings. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. So the answer is to call out to God and recognize that you've messed up and then to say sorry. And say you want to follow Jesus and try and do his things his way in the future. Thirdly, Peter also told his listeners to be baptized. Why? Well, firstly, Peter tells us that we are to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then in the passage that I read earlier from Galatians 3, Paul says, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." And then, of course, Jesus himself, who was without sin, got baptized. And when John the Baptist challenged him about this, Jesus said, "It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Scripture is clear. We need to believe and be baptized. Baptism is a public declaration that we're going to follow Jesus, and it is an act of obedience. If therefore you've not been baptized, please do give it some thought, and if you want to discuss it with one of the leaders here, please do so, and we'll happily talk to you about that. And finally then, when Peter had told the people that they needed to repent and be baptized, he goes on to say that they would then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in all believers, and it is through the Holy Spirit that we're given power and gifts from God. I've already mentioned the fruits of the Spirit. These are an outward sign of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But sadly, life can entangle and can get in the way. And so it's important to regularly review ourselves and our behavior, to assess how close we are to God. And then we need to regularly seek to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. I've heard it said that the Spirit lives in leaky vessels, and so we all need to be topped up occasionally. If you want to know more about faith, about hope, about the love of God, about Jesus, or about baptism, Or if you're troubled or anxious or in need of healing, then do speak to me after the service or to any of the church members, and we'll be happy to chat through things with you and to pray with you. So today, we give thanks for the life of the Queen, a woman of duty, service and faith, our sister in Christ, the faithful Queen, the servant Queen, who follows the servant King. Will you follow him too? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, Almighty God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this time that we've had here this morning, this time of fun and celebration. Lord, as we leave this place, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Equip us for the weeks ahead and give us all of the gifts that we need to take your kingdom into the world around us. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us and those we love, both now and always. Amen.